All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This is I Think You're Dope with Eric Nam. And today we have some very special guests. We have some very two dope people here, friends here. They flew in from Seattle.
Right.
Not on the same flight.
Almost, though.
Yeah.
But this is Alex and Maya Shibutani. Hello, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
What's up?
How are you guys?
Good.
Yeah?
We don't know what day it is, as you were just saying.
Well, but we just found out it's Monday.
It is, yes. Monday.
Right.
It's Monday. We're in Seoul.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thanks for coming out here. I heard you guys flew out here just for the show because it's that important.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You guys have a huge budget. Appreciate the amenities and the travel.
Yes. Right. That's completely false. So if you guys want to support us…
I don't know if that's true, guys. They've got customized coasters.
Go ahead and, listen to our ads and…
Are these for sale?
No, but you can have one if you would
like. Yeah, K-pop Daybox show with Eric Nam.
That is, a fan made that. We have some really cool fan stuff just floating around the office. They make us really cool things. But welcome back to Seoul. This is your first time back since the 2018 Olympics, which is a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Right.
But does that feel like forever ago to you?
Yes and no.
What does it feel like to you? Like, when you think of Korea, when you think of the last Olympics, what does that trigger?
When we flew in and we
Well, trigger has kind of a negative connotation.
A trigger
seems like
in the
they're
best
bad
ways.
Memories. Right. Triggers positive memories. I don't know. It was like one of the most amazing months, 2 weeks of our lives. I think probably the most amazing.
Yeah.
Just based on everything coming together. So much pressure, so much stress, so much excitement. And leaving very, very happy. When we got to Seoul, when we landed at the airport, lots of flashbacks.
Yeah.
We were able to walk off the plane this time and be so relaxed.
Yeah.
And the last time was just like a different
tense.
Energy. Not
right.
tense. We were
it was
excited,
a little tense.
But just a different vibe.
I'm sure. Right. I'm sure. So if you guys are sleeping under a rock and don't know anything, I'm not judging you. I just got to say, you have to know these two, Alex and Maya. They are two-time Olympians, right?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm phrasing things wrong.
No,
I just feel like there's so many
going well.
Two-time Olympians.
I like how Eric was like, if you guys have been living under a rock and don't know anything, let me tell you what's up. They are…
slow down.
Wait, hold on. What is it?
I just
asked them for a sec.
I just want to get it right.
Appreciate it.
But they also have two Olympic medals. Right? But you guys have been in two separate Olympics, Sochi and Pyeongchang.
Yes.
But you guys have also won like a bajillion other things, like world championships and all these different things that I don't know because I'm not the most athletic person, but that's fine because you guys are.
Well, we love you anyway.
I love you guys too. Thank you for loving me unconditionally. But they are incredibly, incredibly important. And for me, I think you guys have played an incredible role not only in sports and sports history and for, American Olympics and athletes and whatever, but particularly for Asian and Asian Americans who have probably never seen a pair like you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that Asian American story and upbringing and making it and now just being everywhere, it's inspiring to me, but also to, I'm sure, hundreds and thousands of people all around the world. And so it's really a pleasure and an honor to be able to call you guys friends. So I want to talk a little bit about how you guys grew up and how you guys got to where you are. And I'm sure you guys have done it a million times before, but I think our listeners are incredibly diverse. They're all very different. And so it might be cool to have a quick catch up so we can get them up to speed on where you guys are from and everything. So where were you guys born?
Yeah, you start first.
Okay. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, what's up?
Northeast.
Yeah.
New England.
Shout out.
Or what?
I went to BC. Shout out.
Yeah. So I was born there. And then…
You had 3 years to enjoy
yourself. Yeah. 3 years of just serenity and being top dog.
Yeah.
Only child. Same
King
with
of the
you,
hill.
Right?
Not I only
3 years,
had like two
but,
years.
Right.
But yeah.
Weren't those the days?
It was quite the day.
Right.
I don't remember anything.
neither do I. I just like to imagine that it was really good.
Yeah, right.
But then Maya was born.
I was born in New York.
Okay.
And we grew up in Connecticut.
But New York City.
Mm-hmm. New York City City.
Yeah.
But you guys, I feel like, so, and now and your parents are now between Michigan and Boston. You guys are in LA.
Yes.
You guys did a lot of moving around too as well. I saw you guys were in Colorado. You guys were in like all over. How was that growing up?
So we grew up on the East Coast. Uh-huh. And then skating kind of happened. We're skipping stuff.
When did you start skating?
I started skating when I was 4. Uh-huh. And Alex was 7.
Right.
We weren't skating together. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Alex wanted to play basketball.
Yes.
I fell in love with skating right away. You were kind of doing whatever.
Why is that funny?
No,
it's you're like laughing.
It's just like so different. Like
he likes basketball. No, what a joker.
Go, Alex. No, that's cool.
Yeah, you started skating. You immediately knew that she uh-huh. liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents wanted us to know how to skate because we had been invited to like a birthday party, uh-huh. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
And they didn't want us to be like afraid.
Terrified.
Or not know what we were doing.
Right.
And it's kind of dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, you have blades on your feet.
Right.
It's dangerous.
Right. And so Maya immediately identified it as something that she wanted to mm-hmm. seriously learn how to do, right. not just like
which
take
sounds
basic
odd
lessons.
Now knowing that it was 4, but it's true. I knew I wanted to do it.
Some people are just like that.
Yeah,
and that's great. You got to really build that up when you were young. I was on the piano and I was like, this is cool, but like I'm really bad, so I should maybe not do this.
I played violin a little bit, but so I was like dabbling.
Uh-huh.
I was not really, you know,
you didn't have your thing yet.
I wasn't targeted in on that thing that I wanted to focus on, and she found it right away, which is rare.
Yeah.
But then we started skating together when we were 9 and 12.
Okay.
Still living in Connecticut.
Yes. I had been skating for less time than Maya at that period of time, but we always got along really well.
Uh-huh.
It's just the two of us. We don't have any other siblings.
Right.
You have some dogs.
Yes.
You have some doggies. Yes.
We do. Yeah. We were at the rink all the time anyway.
Right.
Together. And so our coaches, our parents were like, oh, like they get along. So maybe they'll work well together. Actually, ice dance, we wanted to try it because ice dancers are known for a really good skating technique.
Oh.
And so we wanted to improve our ability as skaters and we thought it would be fun. So we tried it and we were, I guess, really good right away.
Well, yeah, apparently.
And that prompted us to move a year later.
Yes, to Colorado Springs.
Okay.
And then Ann Arbor. Okay. After that,
I saw on Wikipedia you went to Cheyenne,
yes,
high school.
How do you
One
know
of my
about
best
Cheyenne?
Friends from college went to Cheyenne.
That's why we're friends, guys.
That's
one
why
of his
we're
best
friends.
Yeah. Went to Cheyenne,
like legit. Like yeah. I've been to Colorado Springs. There's like pretty much nothing there.
Yeah,
we were skating.
Yeah,
so actually, like turns out
it was the perfect place for us at the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah, but like that's what I saw and I was like, oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So you guys, and then went to Ann Arbor,
mm-hmm.
and then I guess you guys joined like the circuit of like competing.
I thought
everywhere.
He was about to say, and then you guys joined the circus. I was like, did we?
That's, that yes, the ice skating
was
circus.
Was that on our Wikipedia page?
Maybe. You need to update it then. But the circuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We started competing internationally when we were…
I think I was 14.
Yeah, 14 and 17.
Is that crazy? I mean, I guess now it's like… When someone's like, I'm 14, I'm like, you're so young. But I guess when you're 14 or 17, you're like, I'm almost an adult. Like,
right.
I kind of know what I'm doing.
I'm a big kid.
I'm a big kid.
Yeah. I don't know.
What was that like?
It was exciting.
Yeah, everything happened really fast. I mean, we started skating together when we were 9 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
We won our first national medal that year.
At 9 and 12?
Yeah.
There are multiple levels of figure skating, so it's not like we won a medal at the level that we're at now.
Right,
but still,
right.
That's pretty good.
It was like a beginner level. It's called juvenile, mm-hmm. but we were 9 and 12, and we won our first medal.
Wow.
After only skating together for less than a year.
Uh-huh.
And so things really progressed. We moved up a level every single year, uh-huh. Which is a bit unusual, because normally it takes a little bit of time to get your footing
adjust.
And adjust to competing with older better kids.
Taller kids.
And we were always the shortest ones.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes the only siblings.
Right. So competing internationally was really fun. I mean, we grew up watching skating on TV too. And so you watch those international competitions and you always dream of like hearing your name announced with like, you know, your country and mm-hmm. getting to travel and see the world. And so it was really fun to get to do that as a family, not just when we were 14
right.
and 17, but like continuing on.
Yeah. It's awesome. That's yeah. awesome. What did your parents do growing up?
Do?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do they do?
So our dad and our mom met at Harvard.
Uh-huh.
That's where they went to school. And then our dad became an anesthesiologist. And we moved to the city and he was going to medical school mm-hmm. and business school mm-hmm. at around that time.
They both have a background in music.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So they weren't athletes, like okay. competitive athletes like us. So it's kind of a weird thing that yeah. Maya
gravitated towards skating.
Yeah. And that they like totally supported her yeah. and supported us. They tried to put me in violin uh-huh. at the beginning, but I didn't like to practice.
You're like, no.
Right. So they were okay with it. They just wanted me to find something that right. I was going to commit myself to. And so we're so lucky because they were able to support us, make sure that we were like getting along. They taught us to get along, essentially.
Like, it's very important.
They prioritized yeah. that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to think that we would have gotten along regardless yeah. but I think it does come down to parenting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think as soon as I was born and you, after those first 3 years of you enjoying being by yourself, mm-hmm. as soon as I came along, they're like, okay, Alex, this is going to be your best friend. Uh-huh. You can take care of her. But then as soon as we started skating together, what's cool is that they made it clear that we were equal partners.
Uh-huh. Right. Which That's was great. Tough for me to adjust to. For real, though, because yeah. you're the older sibling.
Yeah.
I taught her how to ride a bike.
Yes,
like,
that's
true. We did
true.
All these things together, and she was looking up to me.
He'd
naturally.
Make tons of mistakes. I'd be like, okay, don't do that.
Right. Yeah. And so it was weird to all of a sudden be told that we were on equal footing. Right.
Plus, since I was skating longer at the beginning,
she was better than me. So it was just like an adjustment period where I wasn't as good as her. Yeah. People were saying it.
Yeah.
Like it was a very short period of time though.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it inspired me to work harder. Yeah.
I just imagine like an angsty little Alex be like, I'm going to get it.
Right. Well, that was essentially what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that our parents just have always supported us and given us the encouragement that we need. And as we've gotten older, like we've taken charge.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, how it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, it's good. It's amazing.
And they gave us all the tools that we needed to be able to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Were your parents immigrants? Like, were they first generation immigrants? Or like, how did that work? Because I feel like it's still, now it's kind of like common to see like second, third generation mm-hmm. Asian American immigrant families. But like, for our parents, like I was the first kid born here mm-hmm. And they had come, my dad came like when he was like 30. And so he didn't grow up here. He didn't speak English very well. But like, what were your parents' stories? Was it?
They both grew up in the US.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think our mom was born in, well, I don't think, I know. Our mom was born in Tokyo, but from a very early age,
uh-huh. moved to Florida
okay. with her parents. And all so right. she grew up like never having seen snow. She uh-huh. lived in Miami, and then they met in school, and our dad was born in New York, grew up in Chappaqua, New
okay.
York. And so I guess that makes us like...
Because of her dad, we're third generation.
Third generation.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
But we never really grew up... Like, we grew up in Connecticut, mm-hmm. and we were skating all the time. So forget about like Asian American community right. or Asian community. There was just...
This was our community. Alex and me. Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes for like really good team building.
Yeah. I'm sure.
A good relationship.
I'm sure.
But, you know.
Whether it was Connecticut, Colorado, or Michigan, since we were training from such a young age, yeah. it was really just the two of us.
And then the larger sort of sports community that we would meet through competitions.
Right.
Which was part of what was so amazing about competing internationally was meeting people from all around the world that were making the same sacrifices that we were.
Right.
Because like as a result, Maya was homeschooled when she was younger. And so she didn't have like a typical school experience, and you have to sacrifice a bunch of things when you're committing that much time to training. So, you know, easy things are like extracurricular activities because skating is your activity. No school dances, things like that. And so when we started competing internationally, it was a bunch of other losers around the world.
You're calling metal ass athletes losers, dude.
Right. But like from the context of like their classmates, why is this kid never around?
Fair
He's
enough.
Like skating or she's skating all the time.
Yeah.
So a bunch of other people who were just kind of going a non-traditional path.
And so first we had that in the skating community. And then after our first Olympics, we kind of realized, oh, wait, there are athletes in all these other sports that had the same experience.
Right. There are hockey players and speed skaters
skiers.
And skiers who all sort of have a similar type of upbringing experience as us.
Were there certain points where you know, as kids, it's hard to justify, like, I can't go to school, I can't go to dance, like, all these things that you're sacrificing, were there ever moments where like, this is the one thing I really need to do? Or like anything that really bummed you out, like growing up, that you're like, ah, I wish I could, you know, I didn't have to do this, or I could do this.
For me, I think I was always just so happy being on the ice. And the great thing about figure skating is that there's always a challenge. You always have to work to improve something. You can never feel too settled.
Right.
So that striving towards progress and growth kept me excited all the time and happy.
I think we didn't know what we were missing.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Right.
Like, really. Yeah.
Other than, like, when you start watching movies
about,
like, high school kids or middle school kids going to dance, you're like, oh, so that's what it's like. But
you went to
Right, right. But,
and so then, I don't know if you were just being nice, but he's like, they're not that great.
Right.
Well, they're not that great. And then also, in retrospect, it's like a bunch of, like, snotty kids who are going through puberty. Everybody has pimples and everybody's hormonal. And you lock them into, like, a room and you're like, dance. Just imagine that.
But like 2 feet apart.
Right. 2 feet. Leave room for Jesus. And there are parents everywhere.
Right.
You know, just giving lots of water. Like, it's, you didn't miss that much.
Right.
You know.
Well, thanks, Eric.
Let it be noted that Eric is saying that everyone that he went to school with was snotty and
everybody had snot coming down their nose.
Right.
Everybody
had
pimples, smelled bad. That's just, it's middle school, high school.
Yeah. I mean, so we missed out on that stuff, but I think that we've always had pretty good perspective.
Right.
And we knew that what we were getting to experience together was like really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we weren't having the same sort of educational experience, we were learning other things
along
that
the way. Not a lot of people in the world get to experience.
I guess. Yeah.
You know, so that's incredible. So let's fast forward. You guys train, you guys are killing all the circuits, you're doing international stuff. And then you get to the Olympics, right? You go to Sochi.
That was super fast forward. That was like times 16.
Sorry. I'm like really super ADD.
Yeah.
No, it works.
No, it's good.
What was that like, that entire process going to Sochi? What were your expectations and like how did you come away from that experience?
Mm.
Going to the Olympics was my dream pretty much from the very beginning. Uh-huh. I always thought that I'd be on the ice alone. I didn't expect that Alex would be there with me.
Well, not always. Like initially, you thought.
Initially,
that,
right. I was like, okay, my Olympic dream is center ice, doing my thing.
Right.
Alex in the stands cheering me on.
Cheering her on like a good
big
brother.
He's coming down on the ice.
But I mean, by that point, we had that dream together. Uh-huh. So making our first Olympic team,
I'm just imagining Maya as like a little girl, like, watching the Olympics on TV and then going to sleep at night and imagining her like standing in the middle of the ice, flowers and teddy bears raining down, and then her spotting her big brother and being like, that's my big sister.
She's little sister.
Oh, little sister. Right, right. That's my little sister. She's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, didn't quite turn out that way.
But you know what? I'm grateful. I'm so grateful because the fact that we worked so hard together, got to march in the opening ceremony together. That's so special.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that's
so cool.
Way better than anything I could have imagined.
Whew, good.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
If you want to say something later, just tell me.
Right.
After.
But,
right.
You know, I feel like it's pretty genuine. So you go to Sochi.
Yeah.
And then you guys did not medal then.
No.
What was the result? Like, what did you have in terms of expectations? And like, how was that going into it?
It's kind of our career has been very, very interesting from the standpoint. Well, I don't want to sound like I'm like, well, our career has been super interesting.
It is interesting though.
It has been interesting because like I mentioned a little bit earlier, like we started off like a rocket. Like we progressed really quickly. We got good results every single year, every single competition. And that was awesome. And so at an early age, we never really experienced serious hardship because we were just continuing to progress at such a high rate. But I guess eventually you sort of hit that bump in the road. Not every journey is kind of like a straight shot up. And so we progressed from when we started skating in 2003, 2004 together. To 2011, and then we were eventually like at that point we were on the
Olympic level,
the senior level, competing with these athletes and skaters who had been going to the Olympics.
Right,
and we were 17, and
16, and 19, and some of our competitors were in their 30s.
Right, I should stop telling the story
because
Maya knows all the ages better.
No, it's fine.
but we were 16 and 19, and in our first World Championships at that top level, we were on the podium. And that hadn't been done in like a long time right. because it's pretty rare for like new kids right. to just sort of jump in.
Right.
And so that sort of set an expectation level with 3 years to go before the 2014 Olympics. Because mm-hmm. Maya was too young to even be eligible to compete at the Olympics in 2010.
Okay.
But it sort of set an expectation at like a really high place for mm-hmm. us where, you know, we were 16 and 19 and the Olympics were 3 years away. And we're like, oh, well, if we were at the in the top three of the world championships with all the best skaters, if we just continue to improve right. and keep getting the same results that we've experienced our entire career, then we could be on the podium
yeah.
at the Olympics in 2014. Yeah. But a variety of factors, you know, whether it was just kind of like having a target on your back, like there's more pressure right. once you're at the top. There were injuries. Mm-hmm. There were so many different things going on where we experienced a couple of years where the results were still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We're still meddling at a lot of international competitions, but it wasn't quite the same level as that first year.
Right.
We were still improving. We thought our skating was good.
Right.
But going into the Olympics, that Olympic year in 2014, our expectations had kind of shifted. So it was like, it'd be great to be on the Olympic team and have that experience. Not necessarily expecting to medal mm-hmm. that first time around at that point.
But we got a lot of great advice about just enjoying the experience.
Yeah.
And because I think we really took the moment in, mm-hmm. that inspired us so much, inspired us a ton heading yeah. into 2018.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We I think, embraced being at the Olympics so much. We were not shy about trying to experience all the various aspects of being at the games, whether it's just like the competitive experience, but also just hanging out in the Olympic Village,
that's
talking
so cool.
to people, meeting other athletes. Every athlete has like a different style mm-hmm. of approaching their focus and concentration. Some people are really just like, I'm going to be here and only focus on my competition, yeah. not talk to anyone. And we were more social and still focused on the competition.
Yeah.
And just getting to watch other events and meet other athletes from different places inspired how we wanted to approach our career from 2014 to 2018.
Mm-hmm. So then what was that, you know, you just said that inspired that four-year period.
Mm-hmm.
After the Olympics, did anything really change in terms of your preparation and your training? Or was it kind of like, let's just keep doing what we do. We'll do it again, get there and...
Not to be dramatic, but I feel like after that first Olympics, everything just shifted.
Everything changed.
But seriously, so much of our approach to training, our creative process, part of it was growing up. Part of it was knowing that we'd had that experience mm-hmm. of competing at the Olympics and knowing that we wanted more out of
right.
it, mm-hmm. that we wanted to reach our potential or of what we thought we could maybe do within the sport.
We were still kids at our first Olympic Games.
Mm.
I mean, from the standpoint that we... It was the first time for us being
right.
there and we hadn't experienced it. And so leaving those games and understanding that we had been through a four-year cycle in Olympic sport, everyone thinks about it in four-year uh-huh. chapters, so to speak. The Olympics happens and then it's like a rebuild.
Recalibration.
Right. Figure out the plan and the approach. And so our strategy changed a lot as far as how we came up with our programs, how we trained, how we ate. Everything became very detailed. And it's not like we didn't work hard before. We just found another gear
yeah.
and realized that we were capable of doing more because we were so hungry to get back
right.
to the Olympics and not only skate better, but hopefully get a better result too.
Yeah. And it happened. So fast forward
yeah.
again.
Yes.
You're at the Olympics. You medaled not once, but twice.
Right.
Was that crazy?
It was a very intense 2 weeks.
Right.
It was fortunate that we'd been to an Olympic Games prior to that, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there were certain
it was crazy.
There were certain things that felt familiar, but still it's
yeah.
a completely different animal than any other competition that you can compete in.
Right. I would say that experience definitely pays off.
Right.
But like Maya said, you're a different person 4 mm-hmm. years later. The sport has changed a little bit. And so you're able to rely on experience, but at the same time, you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people like watching the Olympics. That's why people like watching sports.
Right. High,
there might be
stakes.
A favorite, but you still have to deliver in the moment.
Right.
And the Olympics are kind of a unique competition because so much of your career is the perception of your career and how well you do is built towards getting to that
mm-hmm.
moment. And in figure skating, it all boils down to a performance that's 3 minutes for the short and then 4 minutes for the long. And all the hours of work, all the years of preparation, all the sacrifices that you've made, it feels like it literally all, I mean, it literally all comes down to that. Yeah.
I feel like in the commercials, they always say everything has led to this moment, but actually.
Right. Which is a silly thing because literally everything has led to this moment too.
Right.
Right. But, and not to undervalue like the details and the preparation, but you can be the most prepared that you've ever been in your life. And then you get out there and something can sort of jostle you or make you uncomfortable. And you can be out of it for a sec, and like the slightest mistake in figure skating can be costly and cost you a medal,
right?
You know, drop you multiple placements. So we had learned over the course of our career to be strong competitors and focused. And I think one of the things that we leaned on was our relationship, right? We were able to trust each other.
Yeah.
We were present, focused in the moment. I think that a lot of people try and ignore all the pressure, but we embraced it.
We tried to have fun. I mean, it's tough when you've got two people because, you know, if you're, I don't know, let's take public speaking for example. Like some people get nervous when they have to talk in front of people.
Right.
And that's like, you got to figure out how to like handle your own energy and then learn how to be comfortable in front of those people. You're having to handle yourself, but then also realize that you've got a completely different person that might be going through a whole of emotions and different feelings. And syncing that up is something that we've gotten pretty good at.
Yeah.
Communication is key. But then also the Olympics are just really emotional because we flash back to being on the ice. We're skating around and normally you're in any arena or venue. It's the same. But then at the Olympics, I see Alex and behind him is the Olympic rings. And it's just like, so crazy. We're here.
Oh, my God.
The moment. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, so, man.
There's so much going through your head. There was so much going through our heads. But at the end of the day, like, we try not to get too nervous because we know that if we've done everything we can in terms of preparing, there's no reason.
Much more you can do.
Yeah, there's nothing more you can do. Just enjoy it. And I think people, when they're watching, like, are able to sort vibe off of that energy. No one really likes watching someone who looks really nervous and freaking out. You freak out for them.
Right.
And sometimes it works. Sometimes it pays off and they have a great performance. And it's like, oh, they did it.
It's a stressful thing to watch, though. Oh.
Right. You were there.
I was there. And I was like so nervous. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. But what was it like when you receive your medal, when you're on that podium, what was going through your head?
Can I double back actually really quickly?
Yeah,
because you were there.
I was there.
So we had competed at that point once already. And we had been on the ice three times total to perform. And for that fourth performance, we knew that you were going to be there, which didn't make us more nervous.
Great, thank God. Because I was there and I was like, don't call them out. Right. Don't just like fade into the crowd.
Right.
And I was helping you with your Instagram story that morning.
Oh, yeah. I ran into you. But I was just like, I was just like, I can't, like, I don't want to bother them.
It's about keeping things normal.
Right.
So
I'm glad that you guys were at that mentality. I'm that way when I'm performing where I'm just like, you know what? Like, if I bomb, then it's because like I'm in a really bad place. But like I've practiced, I have my stuff together. I should be good.
Right.
But like there are things that happen where like recently I was doing a performance and like my throat just absolutely closed up and I just couldn't get it done. But I'm okay with it because I was like, I tried. Like I did everything I could. So I'm always at peace. But it's good to know that you guys think the same way because there are some people who minutes before they're on stage are having a complete meltdown. I'm
right.
Just like, what's going on? Like, dude, chill out.
Everyone has a different process. What do you do when you're nervous? Because like if you aren't nervous, it's kind of weird. You probably don't care that much.
I get really like quiet and I just kind of shut down to people and people like, or sometimes I'm like, I'm going to take a nap right before I go into like, Eddie and Brian, I was like, you were just like, didn't you just wake up? And then I'm just suddenly like sprinting on stage after just opening my eyes and I'm just on stage. But it's part of that process of just like making everything feel normal, shutting things out and making myself feel really relaxed before I get on stage.
So you're like meditating.
Yeah, but
sleeping.
But sleeping sometimes. Or just like really quiet. Mm-hmm. I'm just really quiet usually.
I think, I mean, you know, being a performer or an athlete, there are a lot of things in common. Like you're trying to regulate your body energy so that you're at peak mm-hmm. when you have to deliver, right. when you have the performance. And so going into that last performance, which was going to determine whether we got the second medal at that Olympics, we're trying to balance so many emotions. The competition was really tight. So we had to be on our game. And it can be a little bit cinematic when you're backstage getting ready to mm-hmm. skate, because we've all seen the sports movie or watched a competition on television. And
like Blades of Glory, of course.
Right, right.
Exactly.
But things do kind of slow down. You're very aware of like everything around you, or at least we were. And so you look for these sort of things that can ground you. Right. So like sometimes
things that are normal.
Right. So like you check your phone.
Right.
Or you, I don't know, what do you do?
Listen to music, or you mm-hmm. check your phone, or we talk.
Right.
Right. We have great coaches, so it's normal, because like we were saying, it's already tough enough to balance two people's energy. But when you have a team around you and they can sometimes be nervous or stressed, yeah. everyone was on the same page.
And some people are like super tight. Like some people just, this is a really important moment. We got to psych ourselves out or psych ourselves right. up. And we try to keep it as relaxed as possible. But before that performance, you didn't make it harder necessarily.
God. Oh my God.
But it ended up being a good thing, okay. right? So we had mentored a class of middle school students.
Right.
We mentored a class of middle school students leading up to the games for 6 months.
Right.
And we were, sharing a lot of information and experiences that we'd had, and they were teaching us about Korean culture. It was part of this exchange program.
Right.
And part of, like, from the very beginning, we knew that they were going to be surprised
uh-huh.
and brought to see us compete. And we didn't know which part of the competition they'd see.
But of course, it was the last one.
Yeah. The most important one.
Right. So like not only did we want to skate well for ourselves, but...
Because we've been talking to them about setting goals, having dreams.
Right.
Right.
And so then they were going to watch us try and do everything that we've been talking about.
Right. And so you went with the class. You went to the school.
No, I didn't. I don't think I got to go to the school. I met them at the bus pickup and okay. I rode in a bus with them.
Right.
Taking a bunch of pictures and like doing all that.
Right.
All the way to the event.
They were so excited to see you.
Yeah.
I hope so. But they were super excited to see you guys. Because you guys had this cultural exchange for months.
Mm-hmm.
But it was crazy because it was also like an NBC TV special.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there's cameras everywhere. I'm sitting next to one of like the lead anchor dudes. We're just talking about life. And I was just like, I wasn't thinking about much because I was like, wow, I'm just really tired because it's like a 2-3 hour drive
right.
from Seoul.
Yeah.
Get there. And then I was like, I really hope that these kids and I don't psych these guys out or like that we just like I just want to blend in and just be as normal as possible
sure.
but the kids are super excited. There's a camera crew that's just like on us the entire time, and I was
right.
like, this is not gonna help anybody.
Right.
So I was like super concerned the entire time.
That's very sweet. I mean, we saw like I mentioned, we were just on our phones trying to keep things normal. Like before any practice session, we check Instagram or whatever. And
so we were on the bus from the Olympic Village
yeah.
to the venue.
And we're
sitting
going
in the back.
Yeah. And I didn't see it. You saw it first.
Yes.
Because I was just listening to music, trying to get in the zone, just trying to be relaxed. And she
so I guess it's my fault.
pulled up the NBC. Was it the NBC Olympics?
Or Team USA.
Or Team USA.
Someone was covering all the kids meeting you,
right.
being so
right.
excited, getting on the bus to okay. the venue.
Taking selfies. Eric's like taking selfies with all these kids. The kids are wearing, the mascot for the Olympics was
the white
like tiger Suhurang. And they were all wearing like these onesies.
Yeah,
did you get a onesie?
No, I did.
Okay.
I got a little hat thing.
Right. And so they were all wearing these onesies. Everyone there super excited. And
seeing all these faces that we've been looking at through Skype.
Uh-huh.
So happy and excited.
Right.
Right. Because the kids had volunteered to be a part of the program.
Okay.
So they
would
come in early.
Yeah.
To school.
Yeah.
Before,
this
yeah.
was a commitment.
They weren't
exactly.
being forced to do this.
Oh,
so
wow.
everyone that was in the program
wanted to be there.
Do it. And so We see them like literally having this moment where they're meeting like a Korean like pop star and going to the Olympics. It's like watching someone else's movie. And they were so excited. And then they're like, and then we're like, wait, they're coming to see us.
Right.
And we're sitting in the back of the bus. And Maya's showing it to me, and I look at her, and she's already crying. And I see her crying. I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that. And then I started crying.
Oh my God.
And luckily, we were sitting in the back of the bus because we're on with all of our competitors. And so they don't know what we're crying about.
Right.
So maybe they're like, wow, those two are so nervous. We got this in the back.
They're having a breakdown in the back of the bus.
And so we're just sitting there crying, watching the story. Because
quietly crying, quietly. Though, because we're like, we can't let anyone know that we're like,
oh my God.
But it wasn't
I feel so crazy about this.
It wasn't crying because we were sad.
Right.
Like, that's,
it was just so happy and grateful. And how
plus all the emotion was like already kind of almost at a breaking point.
Right.
Where, you know, the previous day had been super stressful. Separately, normally when we go to a competition, we only have to be sort of in that game mode for about 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
Once you arrive, you have practice, and then you compete for 2 days, and then you're out. But we had already technically been there for a week and a half, and we'd never done back-to-back competitions like this before. Uh-huh. And with the most important skate coming up, being a little bit tired because you're in that Olympic atmosphere for such a long time. And then the emotion of knowing that like you're seeing like smiling, happy children.
Bunch
of super happy children with, and they had made signs.
Yeah.
They were like these really cute
signs.
Yeah. And they had their Suharang like hats, onesie things. And then Eric Nam is on the bus. And then there was a story of you guys, when we got to the rink, we put it aside. We got off the bus. We wiped our tears off our faces.
No one saw that we were crying. Good. We were fine.
We did our warm up. We warmed up off the ice. And as we were warming up again, just like, you know, check the phone. We're playing our music. And we check the story again. And we see where you guys are seated. So sometimes, like, for example, with our parents, we don't know where they're going to be sitting.
Right.
Sometimes they'll tell us. So it's like, oh, don't worry. Like, if, even if you can't see us, we're here. We're supporting you. Like, just know that we're here, you know, giving you
good
that
vibes.
Energy, right? Those good vibes. And so obviously, it was on our minds when we saw you guys getting on the bus on Instagram that they're going to, we knew you were going to be there, but we're like, where are they going to be sitting? And it's not a small number of people.
Right.
It was
pretty big.
Like 20?
More than that. Easily more than.
And so we saw the Instagram story and like you guys are on the end, very visible because everyone is wearing
the tiger thing.
Tiger hat.
That's one section.
And you're all wearing white and the seats are blue.
Right. We stuck out like blood on snow.
Who gets a white winter jacket? Most of the winter jackets in the arena are like black or red or like at the Olympics.
Right.
You wear like country-based like flag uniforms.
Or sensible winter grays.
Right.
We were just white as snow.
Right. And signs.
Right.
So like very visible. And so we're like, oh, like that's so sweet. Now we know where they are, which
just
was good.
Avoid.
No, it was great.
No, it was
I
so good.
I would have avoided.
It was so good because we knew where you were and we're like, these people are here to support us.
Yeah.
So much going on in our minds, trying to stay focused. It helps us to just focus on like our parents or people that we know, because at the end of the day, we got into this sport because we love performing.
Right.
And if you have someone specifically to perform for, that's an awesome thing. So it actually helped us, because after the tears and crying.
I can't believe you guys cried.
Yeah. We were on warm up and like the kids were clapping a lot. And so it felt like sort of a home court.
That's cool.
Home ice advantage.
Mm-hmm. And it's a huge venue.
Makes it fun.
Yeah, but to know that there were pockets of places where we knew that there was so much support coming towards us, that meant a lot.
Because when you're a kid and you're dreaming or imagining about your Olympic experience, maybe you only thought about your family.
Mm-hmm.
Not me on the ice with you.
Yeah,
but like,
you were up in the stands.
Yeah, me with mom and dad. Right? And then just like a world of other people from around, like, you know, people from around the world cheering also.
Right.
And for there to be such a significant block of people in the stands.
A big section of us.
Yeah.
Was there.
Yeah. It made a smile. And that like was a little thing that helped us enjoy it and sort of bask in the moment and stay focused and then have like a great performance. And so when we got the result at the end of the competition, I remember, well, we got the scores.
We got the scores. There was a ceremony on the ice that was separate from the medal ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then we got to see you guys and that was really special.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a long way to answer how we felt before we got the medal.
Yeah.
But it was a part of sort of that
this
entire
rush of emotion.
Roller coaster of, you know, we got the result. We're super like, then Maya's crying because she's really happy because we, you know, got a great result. We skated our best, which is all you can control.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we walked over, I think after getting our we didn't get medals.
Yeah. It
because
was a different ceremony. But people always
explain
ask
that, though.
What the favorite Olympic moment was. And right. I think people assume the medals. And of course, it's a huge honor to have the medal. But it was really finishing our performance, where because figure skating is subjective, we don't know how we're going to be scored at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew that we had done absolutely everything that we could.
Right.
And so that moment of being on the ice, finishing our performance was just sustained because we knew we skated our best. Our coaches were so happy.
Mm-hmm.
We could hear the audience. And then when we got the result, we were on the ice for the ceremony that wasn't the medal ceremony and saw you guys. It was just this continued high.
You should explain them. The two ceremony thing, though, because normally it's just one ceremony and we get the medal.
They did it like after like a bunch of stuff, right?
Right.
So normally at other competitions, there's the medal ceremony pretty much right away. But then at the Olympics, it's in the mountain village, right? Mm-hmm. In the Olympic Plaza where you get your medals. So that was in the evening. So they did this flower ceremony.
Right.
And then after that, that's when
little
we saw you guys.
Little wreaths and things.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It's a lot of emotions. I feel emotionally taxed right now just even listening to this story.
Right.
But what's really cool, like watching you guys, is beyond like the skating, beyond performing and meddling, like you guys seem to really take to heart, like really being involved with your fans, giving back to the community and standing for things that you guys believe in and partnering with brands and associations that you guys are very, very heartfelt and like genuine about. What has it been like to be able to use your profile and your platform to leverage like different causes and like different initiatives? Like, what really excites you about that? What are some of the things you guys are working on? You guys are doing everything. I'm just curious about that.
We came up in our career when social media was kind of becoming a thing. So earlier we were talking about how it's always just been the two of us. And so when we realized that there was this whole community of people, not just in the US, but around the world that you could connect with, that was something that really excited us.
Right. It was a way for us to, I mean, in ice dance, the discipline of figure skating that we do, there has not been a history of Asian people participating or thriving in that discipline.
Uh-huh.
And so from the very beginning, I think we were kind of aware that we stood out. And not only that, we were siblings. And so it was a way for us to introduce us to the world once we started competing internationally before the Olympics. And I think people really related to the fact that we were siblings, because whether they have no understanding for like how we get along and how we do it, or they have a great relationship with their sibling and think it's super cool that we're doing it. Everyone has like a really close friend or family that they can relate sort of to us in that way, even if they know nothing about skating.
Right.
We've always liked being creative. And like Maya said, social media is just sort of this amazing connection tool that can bring you closer to people everywhere. And so we've tried to be ourselves on social media. And as a result, I think we have like a group of supporters and fans around the world who share a lot of our same thoughts and ideas and are genuinely like really positive people.
Yeah.
And so that's been awesome. And as far as like using our platform to kind of support things that we care about, we understand that like we're role models. We do our best to be role models. And it's an amazing opportunity and responsibility that we don't take lightly. Mm. But at the same time, we try to like imbue everything that we do with sort of that like carefree fun.
Yeah.
Try to make it look easy, but it's a lot of work. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
You know.
You do the same. Yeah. You do the same.
I mean, me too. But like, I have a crazy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the two of you and then I'm like, okay, but they have it probably worse than
I. This is perfect because we have a crazy schedule. And then I look at you and I'm like, okay, but Eric's schedule is so much worse. So no, it's okay.
It's literally.
Or better.
No. True.
Right.
I feel like we're always just one flight away from just like being right next to each other. But we're always somewhere different.
Right.
We always see each other in different cities and different places. Be it Atlanta at Eddie's wedding.
Yes.
Like every once in a while in LA. In Korea. We missed each other in Seattle by 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. We saw each other in Japan in the spring.
We did.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of crazy. But what's next for you guys? You guys are you guys taking a break from like training and all that kind of stuff? Like are you guys going to try to do the next Olympics? Like what are you guys hoping for?
We haven't competed since the Olympics, but okay. One exciting project we've finally been able to share is that we have our first book coming out next year.
No,
yeah,
that's right. Awesome.
In May.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so you tell them about it.
Tell us about the book.
You tell us about it. I was like, yeah, so Maya, you should tell them about it.
So Maya, tell us about the book.
Yeah, so it's going to be our first book. It's been really exciting for us to take that partnership and teamwork that we've always had on the ice when it comes to storytelling and doing something that's completely different and creative, which is writing a book. And it's a middle grade children's series about two siblings that go to Tokyo to watch the Summer Olympics.
Oh, okay.
So they're not us, but they do share a lot of the similar characteristics, or they might feel familiar.
Okay.
But it's still been very exciting for us to be on this new journey.
Our
dogs
are in
Spoiler
the book.
Spoiler alert, yeah.
So like we name their dogs Art. Like, okay. Our dogs are Lily and Poe. And so the two characters, Mika and Andy. So it's still like an M name and an A name.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
Right, right. But yeah, so we're really excited about that because it combines all of these elements of things that we are really passionate about, things that we really like, sports, the Olympics, travel, food, family. And
we know we're all foodies here.
Right, right.
We're super foodies here.
So there's a serious food element involved with the story. And I think that it's fun to create something that's completely different from what we normally create on the ice. But it's interesting how a lot of the same sort of methodologies that we use in creating and working together.
How much of that applied. Translates to other things.
Right. So it's not an autobiography. Most people, when we said that we were writing a book, so many people were like, can't wait to read all about like
your
lives. And
or is it a
self-help
book? Or we'll always assume that it's that. But to know that we're going to be able to, with the book tour, meet so many young kids.
That's exciting.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's super exciting.
So that's one project that
so you
we've
have
been
the
doing.
Book project. Like, I mean, I feel like you guys could and can and will do anything and everything. I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if I see you guys on TV and film doing like acting. I don't know if you know this, but
that's like a lot. We're already doing a lot.
I know, but you never know.
Right, you never know.
There's a song on Spotify called Maya Shibutani.
What?
Do you not know this?
No.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to share.
Is this on
video.
Eric's new album?
Oh my Lord.
Is this a reveal?
Dropping this Thursday?
You guys, okay, hold on. So
wait, what?
Yesterday after we had dinner.
Right.
Okay. I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to some of the other podcasts that they've done.
Sure.
So I'm like, I literally type in Shibutani, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a song called Maya Shibutani by D. Sierra. And it was released on Valentine's Day of 2019.
Huh.
You've never heard this?
I've never heard this.
I'm
Spotify?
So excited to share this with you.
Where's my song
Are
on
you
Spotify?
Ready? Here we go.
Are those like skate sounds?
Oh, probably.
Or is that just like...
Look, it has your picture. Like, literally,
paper
it's
your picture. Rustling.
I didn't know. Let it go like Frozen?
Oh, like Frozen.
I can't deal with this. Wait, how do you feel right now?
It's very nice.
Living your best life.
Yeah.
So I'll
That's
I'll,
cool.
I'll send this to you or just search it on Spotify.
Okay.
There's a song.
Thanks, Eric.
It's your song.
Wow.
I legit did not know. And I was like, wow, this dude like really wrote from the heart. That's a lot of references. Got some Frozen references.
Right.
You got ice skating in the background.
Basically, this is just a huge flex for you that you do your research, right?
I just try.
I was looking at podcasts, Wikipedia.
That's when you know you've made it, I think. When you're not a singer or like a music artist and you're on Spotify. Yeah. Yeah.
So congrats.
Thank you.
Can we look
forward
to a Maya Shibutani album? At any point?
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah,
maybe. Right. Like you said, anything and
everything.
Anything
is possible. Anything is possible. Well, you guys are in Seoul. Anything you guys are looking forward to do while you're here? Anything that you guys are going to try to check out? Because you guys haven't really had a chance to explore the city.
Right. We've been here several times before for competitions. But when we go someplace for a competition, we end up just spending a lot of time at the rink.
Right.
We're there to do a job. We're there to compete. So right. There's a lot of napping and acclimating to a different time zone and all that stuff. So we don't even get to really experiment with different food too
right,
often.
Right.
So we're not competing this time. We're not here for that type of stuff. We've been flown out here specifically for this podcast.
For just this
again,
podcast.
Just to reiterate.
Right.
Quick trip.
Yeah, quick trip. And there's also just like an amazing per diem that Eric has granted us to... I'm joking. she's like, what?
Per diem.
Excuse me?
I wasn't invited. Yeah. No, you're coming. Yeah. We're going to be balling out tonight.
All right, guys. Go easy on the card, okay?
So we're just looking forward to getting to sightsee a little bit. We were supposed to get here a day earlier.
Right, and you guys missed your flight.
Yeah.
Right, not because of us.
Right, it was
the Seattle weather
stuff. It was the fog
stuff.
In Seattle, so we were going to spend an extra day here. But as a result, we're leaving tomorrow.
Yes, but you've been sending us some recs, and now we just have more reason to come back, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, we have plenty of reasons for you guys to come back. You're more than welcome anytime.
Thank you.
I need to get you out the door because you guys should go explore. I feel bad. I feel like I'm taking up valuable travel and experience time.
No, this has been great.
Lots of laughing.
I mean, wait, did that not sound convincing?
Great.
I didn't say it like
well,
that.
Well, here's the thing. I'm like, this is probably one of the easier podcasts I've done because you guys are so well-spoken and eloquent. Like, just, I could probably just listen to you guys talk. And like...
Thanks, dude, man.
You're welcome.
Oh.
You guys should do your own something. Something I'm sure you've considered.
Right.
Or thought of.
Well, we have a YouTube channel.
Okay.
That we don't regularly post videos.
It's a lot
but
to
I
do videos.
I guess we're okay at working together.
Right.
Not bad.
Were you being sarcastic?
Yeah.
Or okay, yeah. No, I mean, it could happen. But yeah, thanks for having us on the
You're
show.
You're also very easy to talk to.
You're really good at this.
I really don't do much. I just ask random things. But what's next for you guys? You guys are going to Japan for a few days?
Yes.
And then just flying all over. What can people look forward to other than like a book?
The book is released on May 12th.
Okay. So already out there. Okay.
We had to make the announcement
super early.
Early because like there are a bunch of speaking events and
introducing the book to different people.
Right.
Okay.
And so before they can make their announcements, we have to say if people were announcing like they're going to be here with their new book and we haven't announced our
book. Yeah.
Right. That's a problem. But yeah, so that's like the big thing that's coming up.
Okay.
We're going to be traveling quite a bit through the end of the year. We try to keep people posted with what we're up to.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see you in another random city.
Yeah, I probably will.
There's a good chance.
I would not be surprised. So you guys, if you guys are listening, please go ahead and follow Alex and Maya on all their socials. They have a lot of great posts that make you envious and jealous and like give you a lot of FOMO. A
lot of it. Or just like, you know, cool posts that don't make you feel in a negative or envious.
Yeah, it's just very like, it makes you feel happy.
That felt like a promotional thing, but also
it's
like,
not.
But don't do it because you're going to feel bad about.
I like FOMO posts because right. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like we went to a hedgehog cafe.
We yes. did.
A lot of people Brian's probably idea. Felt very, I really did not like the hedgehogs.
They didn't like any
they
of
didn't
us.
Like any no. of
they,
us.
It was their nap time. I felt kind of bad.
We legit were like, okay, that was cool. We're never doing this again.
Right.
And we walked out, washed our hands, and got what did you?
We got a couple meals.
We got a
Eddie
lot
recommended.
Of meals.
Oh yeah,
we got the ramen and we got the pancakes.
Pancakes, yeah.
And we just walked and we did just, random stuff.
Yeah, we walked to eat.
Yes, yeah. That's what we did. But thank you so much for making time. Really appreciate you guys coming on the show, and best of luck with everything in the future.
It sounds like you're just like saying goodbye to us for forever. Like, good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
you. It was nice knowing you.
Again.
Bye.
I'll see you guys very soon, I'm sure. Our listeners, perhaps not. Mayhaps, yes. I don't know.
I don't know. If we were good enough to be brought back on. Hopefully we can come to Korea more often.
Well, come anytime.
Yeah.
That per diem, I don't know if you'd be there, but you're more than welcome.
Korea's always going to be a... We were talking about it last night, actually, because we had dinner.
Yeah.
And then we were walking back to our hotel.
Yeah.
And we were like, wow, like Korea is always going to be such an important place for us because of the memories
right.
from the Olympics. So even walking through this building, the smell of the staircase... Like smelled kind of
yeah,
like
you were talking about that to Brian.
Yeah, I was telling Brian it smelled
I love this smell.
It smelled like the
like
arena.
Korea?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It smelled like the arena. It just like took me
oh,
back.
Wow.
So, you know, we'll come back to smell things.
Come back for the smell therapy.
Right.
Safe travels.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Safe travels to you too.
Yeah, thanks.
And congratulations yeah. on the new album.
Oh, thank you. Thank
it's amazing.
You so much.
Well, we haven't heard it yet. Well,
we've heard one song.
We've heard one
I'll,
song.
I'll give you the secret playlist.
Okay.
The SoundCloud Dropbox.
Yes.
Can't wait to hear the Maya Shibutani song on the album.
All right, guys. Have a great one. Thanks for listening to I Think You Know. Please be sure to check out all of our socials and connect with us to hear from more dope people like us. Have a good one. Bye.